From the first moment of the incarnation, Jesus offered his life for our sins. It can seem, I think, sometimes that because we've heard this story over and over, that it's just kind of what happened. We can lose the beauty, the magnificent, and even the overwhelming nature of what God has done for us. Jesus, in every action of his life, was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. He was thinking of every human being he had ever created. And in every action of his life, he was thinking of how it was that he was going to save you and me and everyone in creation. Jesus did not give a partial offering of himself, but total, entire. Jesus gave himself completely for our sins. But what did that mean for someone who was the divine Son of God? What does it mean for the divine Son of God, who is also fully human, to give his life for us and for our sins? What we get today is a picture of what that is like. The most dramatic moment, I think, in all of the Passion is that moment when from the cross, Jesus cries out the words of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, if we remember that the human nature of Jesus and his divine nature were contained in one person, it certainly cannot be the case that God would ever abandon Jesus. But what theologians have said, especially the church fathers, was that at that moment, when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is allowed to feel the weight of all the sins of the world. All the sins, your sins, my sins, everybody's sins. At that particular moment, he is allowed to feel what it means to be forsaken by God, even though he could not sin. And that's powerful indeed. First of all, because we can only imagine what eternal separation from God would feel like. But more importantly, we can look at our own lives and ask ourselves, what is it that God did for us? In his love for you and me, he took the sin of the old Eve and restored it in the complete fidelity of the new Eve, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Whereas the old Adam caused us to be separated from God, the new Adam, in his total self-gift, allows us yet again to be joined with God in a perfect relationship. In fact, that is what is held out to us. And so all this week, we will have an amazing moment to reflect on the powerful events in Jesus' life. There is, for example, what we will celebrate on Holy Thursday, the priesthood of Jesus Christ, the institution of the Eucharist, and the service that is constitutive of the priesthood of Jesus. We will recount again on Good Friday the powerful gift of Jesus for us and our sins. And then we will celebrate what was intended from all eternity, namely that in giving himself for our sins, not only would he be raised from the dead, but we would have the opportunity to have this tremendous and wonderful and beautiful new life. I would strongly encourage you to try to take part in as many of these events this week as you can, ideally all of them. But there are opportunities for us to think about what God in His love and in His mercy has done for us. Moreover, they are an opportunity for us to recognize that this new life that was given some time ago continues to be poured out through the Holy Spirit as new members of the church come into the church on this Easter vigil. Let us ask the Lord today to help us to enter most fully into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, so that in this week we call holy, we too might be made holy.